grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. And every day we have a unique topic, something that makes us think. We try and sometimes talk about our rich heritage as well, but we also try and have them topics that will try and make a change in our lives. And inshallah, Azawajal, today will be no different. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, and then we're going to have the privilege of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. With regards to the blessings of Durood-e Pak, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if a person recites Durood-e Pak upon me 100 times, then Allah Azawajal will write between both his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and he's free from the hellfire. And Allah Azawajal will raise him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, what a beautiful blessing. And 100 Durood-e Pak, how long does that take? You can basically, if you go to work, walk to school, walk to college, whatever you are, no matter how close, even if your school, college, workplace is at the end of the street, literally going there in that time, you can recite 100 Durood-e Pak. And if you're not working, you're not studying, then how long? 100 Durood-e Pak. And that is all I'm asking for you from today. 100 Durood-e Pak, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Sacrifice at least 3, 4, 5 minutes of your time. And inshallah, azawajal, you'll see the results, you'll see the success on the day of judgment. And like I said before, who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of the channel, now we're going to have the privilege, inshallah, azawajal, of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin ar rahmanir rahim maliki yawmiddin.
Sab khubiyan Allah ko jo malik sare jahan walon ka, bahut meherban rahmat wala, roze jaza ka malik.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Hum tujhi ko poojein aur tujhi se madad chahein.
Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin.
Hum ko seedha rasta chala, rasta unka jin par tu ne ehsaan kiya, na unka jin par ghazab hua aur na behke huon ka.
Sadaqallahul azim.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, we just have the privilege to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, and we listen there to Surah Fatiha, that surah that we recite in every rakat of our namaz. But do we really know the translation of that? Do we know the meaning of that? And again, as Muslims, we're reciting it all the time. You know, whenever we go to a khatam, whenever we go to someone's house, we'll recite Surah Fatiha. Whenever we're at the graveyard, we'll recite Surah Fatiha. And it's probably the most read surah for any Muslim to read. But unfortunately, do we know the meaning of it? And there again, viewers of the channel, we were just privileged again to listen to the Urdu translation of it. But I think if every household could read the translation of the Quran, as we've said before, sit down as a family, read it, understand it, and try and implement it in your lives, then inshallah, azawajal, will make a change in our lives. What are we going to talk about today, viewers of the channel? Viewers of the channel, in our lives, you know, the life has become very, very busy. We're saying now that, you know, we're living in the fast lane. We're always rushing here, we're rushing there, we're always trying to achieve things as quick as possible because we're so busy. We've got, you know, everybody has a list of maybe 100 things to do, yeah? And so our lifestyles have become very, very busy now, to the extent that time has become very, very precious. And in some cases, time is more valuable than money. When you ask people for money nowadays, they'll give you money, but they're not willing to give you their time. Why? Because it's become more valuable. But the problem is because we are rushing, because we're running around so fast, because we are, you know, doing things in haste, then as a result of that, we're making mistakes. And some of them mistakes can be detrimental for us. So it's like the person, you could examine the person that previously a person maybe used to travel at 10, 15 miles an hour, and it would take him 10 hours to get to his destination. Now we're traveling at 100 miles an hour, and we get there in 2 hours. But unfortunately, because we're going at 100 miles an hour, sometimes what happens is on the way we have an accident, and we never reach our destination. On the way, we cause these problems, we never reach our destination. On the way, because we're rushing so quickly, we're taking the wrong directions, we're taking the wrong turns, and as a result of that, we don't reach that destination. So sometimes slow and steady is better than fast, or as they would say here, fast and ready. And that's the case here, the views of Malaysia. So today we're going to talk about the harms of being hasty, the harms of rushing, and how that impacts us on our ibadat, how that impacts us on our religious life, and also how it can impact us on our worldly life as well. And hopefully we'll be able to give you some advice of how we need to basically, you know, monitor ourselves and make sure. And yes, inshallah, we'll also talk about those parts of our life where there is a need to be hasty, where there is a need to rush to do things. And there are certain things that you need to be hasty in doing, but the other things you need to be very careful in doing. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that today. And hopefully, we'll learn something about how we should live our life. But before we begin, inshallah, we're going to go now listen to the kalam of the day. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفینا صلی علی محمد ہم بھی مدینے جا مدینے جائیں گے آج نہیں تو کل صحیح آقا صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی محمد اے کاش تصور محمد کی میرے عطا عشق اویسے قرنی ہو سرکار عطا عشق اویسے قرنی ہو اے کاش میں بن جاؤں مدینے کا مسافر رمضان میں بن جاؤں مدینے کا مسافر پھر روتی ہوئی طیبہ کو بارات چلی ہو
اور یہ
مد کی میرے دل بے بسی ہو.
اللہ اللہ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Mother Channel, I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. The Nath Khan was there talking about that if we can imagine being in the streets of Medina, if we can only imagine that we are there. And he also mentioned that I do dua that, you know, that if my life is going to be taken away from me, it's taken away from me when I'm in my head, it's touching, you know, the place, the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my soul is taken away from me then. And in the last two lines of the kalam, he talks about the praises Dawat Islami, that, you know, Dawat Islami, we pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla enabled Dawat Islami to spread all around the world. And it's because Dawat Islami that we are here today. In the last line, he was talking about Emilia Sunnah, that Athar is ours, and, you know, on the Day of Judgment, he'll be there for us, inshallah. Azza wa Jalla. But, you know, topic aside again, isn't it, that if it was not for Amir al-Sunnah, if it was not for Dawat Islami, then no Madri channel would be here, no programs that you're watching today would be here, none of us would be here. And who knows where people like me would be if it was not that we were blessed with the environment of Dawat Islami. We could be anywhere, and, you know, we only have to look around us and see that, you know, if we have been saved in whatever way, if we are protected in whatever way we are protected, if we have been given a good environment, if we have been given any form of mindset, and I know that myself included, first and foremost myself included, that we don't live up to the expectations of Amelia Sun, but, you know, whatever good thoughts we have, whatever good actions we are doing, whatever good mindset we have been given, it is all through a blessing of Amelia Sun, and it is again his hard work, working day and night. And, you know, I was watching the program the other night, Dilon Ki Rahat, and I was thinking to myself, and just before that program, I was thinking to myself that, you know, if I do this, if I invest some money here, I can make some money here, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And I was just, you know, in my own mind, thinking about things, that if I buy a plot, maybe if I buy this plot, then maybe in 6 months' time, I can make this money, and so on and so on. And I was sitting there watching, later on, I was watching Amir al-Sunnah, and I thought, do these thoughts not ever go through his head? How is it that he has been able to detach himself from the dunya? And it's because he's been able to detach himself from the dunya that he's been able to, you know, be able to be the leader of so many people around the world, be the heartbeat of so many people around the world, that through his efforts, you know, Dawat Islami spread all around the world. And, you know, today there is probably not a single country in the world where the message of Dawat Islami is not got, be it in the form of electronic media, be it in the form of Madri channel, be it in the form of Mobilix going there, be it in the form of madrasas, Fazana Madinas, Daru Madinas, Jamatul Madinas, educational institutes setting up there. And even we were contacted from an island where there are no more than 100 Muslims, and they wish to set up a center there, and they wish it to be managed by Dawat Islami, and they wish to insist us, you know, help them there in setting it up. So this is the blessing, viewers of Mother Channel, of Dawat Islami, and it's a great blessing for all of us. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal keep me first and foremost attached to the environment of Dawat Islami until my last breath. I know that within a huge organization, we're obviously constantly, you know, improving things and facing difficulties. But I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal keep us all in the environment of Dawat Islami. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our iman, protect all of those people that are working tirelessly day and night, be it the ones that you see in front of the camera, or be it the ones that you see behind the camera, be it the ones that are doing translation work or any work. And there's such a huge organization it is, Dawat Islami, that so much work is taking place behind the scenes that we don't even see it. You know, at the moment you may see just one person here in front of you on the camera, but behind the scenes, behind this program, behind many of the programs, there are maybe hundreds of people that are working behind the scenes to enable us that we can bring this service to you. And this is all through the blessings of Amir al-Sunnah and his hard work and the sacrifices that he, without doubt, has made, is making, and inshallah will continue to make. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah, please, we ask thee to keep his shadow upon us as long as it is possible. Allah. We're talking about, viewers of Mother Channel, about being hasty in our lives. And how being hasty can also cause problems to us. And there are certain times in our life where being hasty is beneficial for us. And I'm going to give you hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is narrated that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala stated that a man came into the masjid. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the corner of the masjid. And that man, he offered his salah, And then he came and gave salam to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam saw him, returned his salam to him, and then he said to him, repeat your salah. You have not offered your salah. The person returned, he offered his salah, and then he came back again and he gave salam again. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied to that salam, and again the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him, repeat your salah as you have not offered your salah. After the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had said to him three times that offer your salah, you have not offered it. After the third time, the person said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, please teach me. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that when you stand for salah, then perform your wuzu properly, then face the Kaaba, then recite the takbir, then recite as much Quran as is easy for you, then go into the ruku until you come to a rest, then stand to the extent that you are upright, then go into sajda until you go to a rest, then get up to the extent that you are seated properly, then go back into sajda again until you have come to rest, and then do the same in the rest of your salah. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here was guiding him on how to perform his salah. And viewers of the channel, we learn quite a lot from this particular hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is probably aside from the topic a little bit. The first thing that we learn is that the pious predecessors, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were constantly offering salam to each other. This person, he gives salam. He was told that go and repeat your namaz. He went, repeated his namaz, came back. What did he do first and foremost? Offered his salam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to that salam. Told him, offer your namaz again. He went back, offered his namaz. The Prophet of, he then came back and offered his salam again. And this happened at least three times. The person offered his salah and came back and repeated his salah. Nowadays, do we even give salam to each other once? Never mind, three times, four times. And it said that if two Muslims, if a wall separates them, if they're walking along and the wall is in the middle, and all of a sudden a wall separates them, then when they pass by the wall, they should give salam to each other again. But nowadays, what do we do? Do we even give salam? Can we pronounce the words properly? Or is it, oh, how you doing, mate? You all right? Tiguna? Okay, everything okay? Yeah, okay, see you later. Is that our greeting nowadays? I'm not even going to call it a salam. Is that our greeting, how we greet each other? You know, we are Muslims and we've been given the most beautiful greeting. Beautiful way to greet each other, if only we can greet each other and make a habit of doing that. Make a habit. And again, as I was saying earlier on, the environment of Da'wah Islam has given us this mindset. Given us this mindset that when we meet each other, give salam to each other. And when you hear the salam, then make sure that you reply to that salam as well. You know, not just, okay, all right, okay. Give salam, give dua to each other, repeat that salam to each other. Allahu Akbar. We're also told that if we give salam to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will reply to us as well. So again, this is a great sunnah that we need to do. And if only every Muslim understood the importance of this. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan states that I witnessed with my own eyes and heard with my own ears people swearing instead of giving salam. Is that true even today, viewers of my channel? That in the time of Ala Hazrat, he says that I heard people swearing at each other instead of giving salam. Is that the case now? And yes, it probably is. It probably is. Instead of giving salam to each other, giving peace to each other, we're cursing each other. And we don't give salam to each other. We look people the other way. We give them the dirty looks. Allahu Akbar. Is your salam that precious that you cannot give salam to a fellow Muslim? No. Please make a habit of giving salam. The second thing that we learn, which is very, very important from this hadith that we mentioned earlier on Views of the Channel, is that if someone was to make us aware of our shortcomings, if someone was to make us aware of our weaknesses, how should we react? Yeah. How should we react if someone makes us aware of our shortcomings? Like this companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was told to repeat his salam, he didn't say, well, I've already done it, I just did my namaz. Yeah. Did you not see me? I read my namaz. Yeah. Because unfortunately, viewers of the channel, that's how we react nowadays. If someone tries to rectify ourselves, if someone tries to correct our faults, if someone tries to say to us that, look, you've made this mistake, you've made that mistake, then what will happen is they'll say, achoo. You become a scholar now, have you? You become a mulvi now, are you? Who do you think you are, yeah? You think you know more than me? Yeah, yeah, okay. Just because you're wearing, you got a beard on you in your face and you're wearing your imam ashrif, you think you know more than me? Go and sort yourself out before you sort me out. And then even if it is a genuine rectification, yeah? Instead of taking that rectification on board, okay, you're trying to create my salah. Why don't you go and sort out your brother first? Do you know what your brother's up to? Yeah, he's doing drugs, he's dealing with this and that, and he's doing this. Go and sort him out before you can sort me out. And rather than taking on that board, we attack the people. We attack them. And we'll say to them such things that, oh, go and sort your brother out first. Go and sort your sister out first. Go and sort your son out first. Do you know what they're up to? And here you are trying to sort me out. But you think you're so big that you're sorting me out? What about your brother? What about your sister? What about this? What about that? Instead of taking this on board, that person, if he is sincerely, and again, if he is sincerely trying to rectify yourself, then it is for your betterment. And if we have this mindset that if anybody tries to rectify us, whatever it is, then it's for our betterment. You know, alhamdulillah, we have the technical staff with us in the background, like I said before. And we have mufattish as well, checking that, make sure that nothing we say is incorrect. And, you know, I'm really, really happy. I've actually said to the technical team that I'm really, really happy that we have a mufattish watching me, because I could make mistakes. We could all make mistakes. And so it is good that someone is there to rectify us. Because if we are not rectified here, yeah, and we live our whole life making the same mistakes, and we've wasted all that time, then on the Day of Judgment, surely we'll be in shame when we are said that none of your salah was accepted because you didn't do it properly. None of your fasting was accepted because you didn't do it properly. None of your recitation of the Quran was accepted because you didn't do it properly. Is it not better that we take a few moments here, let people explain to us, let people rectify us, let people correct us here, than having to face that shame on the Day of Judgment? And obviously, not only that, wasting all of that time, the rest of our lives making the same mistakes. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq al-Azam, radiyallahu ta'ala, states, and this is beautiful for you viewers on the channel, this should be enough for you. The person who makes me aware of my shortcomings is beloved to me. And that's the mindset that we need to have. And again, I was talking to you about Dawud Islami earlier on. This is the mindset that we are given. That if someone rectifies me, they are my friend. And I will say this now, that if you watch me, if you see me making any mistakes, be it on the channel or be it in my whatever part of my life you see me in, if I make a mistake, rectify me. I'm there to be rectified. I'm not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. But if I make a mistake, then we should all have a big enough heart to be able to enable someone that if someone rectifies us, we realize it is better for us. In the same way, viewers of Mother Channel, we should be brave enough. And it's not, this is the harder part now. It's hard having a big heart to be able to take rectification, but it's also hard to rectify someone as well, especially when someone's close to you. And you know, if you have this mindset that if an opportunity comes to rectify someone, then you should try to rectify them. I remember many, many years, and this still, you know, this is how much it's affected me. Maybe, I don't know, 25 years ago, I can still remember it now. And that was a mistake I made once. And since then, I tried my best not to make that same mistake. I remember walking past someone, and there was a young Muslim sitting in a car. He had the window down. He was playing music. And he had a gold chain on, and he had these earrings on. And I was walking past, and as I was walking past, I continued to walk past, and I'm thinking to myself, I should say something to him. I should say to him that, look, you know, beta or bai or whatever, this wearing this gold is haram for you. But I didn't pluck up the courage. And when I got home that day, I regretted it. And to this day, I regret it. To this day, I still remember, it's 2025, kid. I can even take you to the street. I can take you to that corner, to that path, and take you exact same spot where it was. I can still remember it. So now I try my best that if I see any of our Muslim brothers, and again, viewers of the channel, if you are watching now, that it is haram for us to wear these gold chains. It is haram for us to wear these gold rings, these huge gold rings, multiple rings. It is haram for us to wear these, you know, one earrings or two earrings or whatever you want to call them, mundriya, whatever you call them. It is a haram for Muslim men to wear these things. And so now, if you see someone, then pluck up the courage. Pluck up the courage and say to the brother, look, what's he going to say to you? What's he going to say to you? If he says to you, who do you think you are? Okay, Tika. Okay, you've done your job. The farmer's job is to plant the seed. The farmer's job is to plant the seed. No more. Whether that seed goes into a fruit tree or not, that is up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But our job is to continuously plant the seed. Plant the seed of rectification, rectify people. And if as a result of your rectification, if that person stops doing that, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you'll be benefited from it. In the same way, if you see someone completing the wuzu in haste, and as a result of that, all of the arms do not get wet, or all of the feet do not get wet, or they do not complete the wuzu properly, then rectify them. But again, rectify them in a nice manner. We need to be very careful as well as this. If, for example, you see someone, you know, wearing a gold chain or wearing gold earrings or whatever it is, you see them, you say, brother, what are you doing? You know, this sort of thing is going to take you into the hellfire. You should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah. You're going to go direct to the hellfire because of the result of this. Will he listen to you? No, he won't. But if he says, look, brother, you know, I just want, you know, you are my brother. And obviously, you know, as an ummah, we should look out for each other. And if the ummah, if any one of us is in pain, then we should try and help each other. We're such a caring ummah. And brother, you know, I just want to say to you, please don't take offense, but you know this gold chain that you're wearing, it is haram for Muslim men to wear it. I would advise you, brother, to please refrain from wearing this. Inshallah, it will be better for you. Yeah. And inshallah, if you sell it and donate it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah it'll be better for you. And try and, you know, in comforting words, and brother, I know it's not easy. I know the society around us, everybody's doing it. But you know, Muslims, we are leaders, aren't we? We are leaders. We're not sheep. We are leaders. We are strong people. And you're a strong person. I know you can do it. Don't be led by other people. Don't come under peer pressure. Inshallah, you know, get rid of this. Inshallah, listen to these sort of words. Then inshallah, it'll comfort him and it'll do this. So back to the saying of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. What a beautiful saying. And I want to just recite that again to you. He states that the person who makes me aware of my shortcomings is beloved to me. In the same manner, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, those who are just will be grateful to the one who informs them of the correct way. So if you are a just person, if you're a righteous person, then you'll be thankful to those people that correct you. And in the same way, I've used them on the channel. And this is not, Amir al-Sunnah says this every Madani Muzakara. He says in every Madani Muzakara at the beginning, he said that, you know, if you see me making a mistake, then correct me straight away. You'll not see me making excuses. I'll not make excuses. I'll not try and justify what I've said. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it and I'll rujoo, I'll take them words back and I'll repeat the correct manner. And this is not, I've seen it, view, and you've seen it, views on the channel, if you watch Madani Muzakara, that Amir al-Sunnah, if he misunderstands something, then if someone points it out to him, straight away he rectifies it. He takes his word back and says, no, this is what the scholars have said. And he'll repeat it. And this is again how we should have this mindset that yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we are human, we make mistakes. But if someone rectifies us, what should our mindset be there as well? The third thing that we learn from this views on the channel is that gentleness and good character play a very important role in rectification, as I've already mentioned. That if you are calm with someone, if you are nice with someone, when you rectify them, then they listen to them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say to him that, look, you know, as a result of you reading that, you're going to the hellfire. He said, no, go and create your salah again. And he said it in a nice way, in a beautiful way. And the brother, the Muslim companion, he was not offended by what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And he went away and repeated it. The fourth thing that we learn, views on the channel, is that hastiness, which is what we are talking about. Hastiness is such a thing that if it enters into our worship, it can cause it to be incomplete. And at times it even ruins it. And unfortunately, views on the channel, there are a very few number of Muslims that offer salah today in the correct manner. And again, we rush our salah. We're running through our salah so fast that although we perform salah, but have we, you know, performed it in the correct manner? Have we ensured that we're getting the maximum amount of sawab from it? And as a result of maybe performing our salam, are we not making those mistakes that rather than getting blessings for us, we may be incurring sins as well? And again, these are the things that we need to be aware of. And it's said that if a person is hasty in his salah in particular, he can be called the thief of salah. What is the thief of salah, views on the channel? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst thief is the one who steals his salah. The companions humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how can a person steal in his salah? You know, it doesn't make sense that you're reading namaz, how can you steal something? I can't steal this cup, I can't steal anything whilst I'm reading my salah. They said, how can a person steal in his salah? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he does not complete his ruku and he does not complete his sujood. Or he does not straighten his back in ruku and sujood. And you know, when we're reading our namaz, when you're going into sajda, you're going to sajda, and when you come up, you're supposed to straighten your back, come to a rest, then go back. And you see people that literally the heads are there and they lift it up and they back down again. Literally the head comes off the ground by only that much and they go back into sajda again. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You're supposed to kick it completely back up. Same way when we're going into ruku, get back up, straight up to your back. Again, what happens is some people straight from the ruku, they go straight into sajda. And again, these small acts are the stealer of salah. A summary about Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullah states under the hadith is follows. He says that a thief of salah is the worst kind of thief, because if a person steals some money and is punished, he receives some benefit. But the thief of salah will receive his punishment in full. He will not receive any benefit. The one who steals money violates the rights of people, whereas the thief of salah violates the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one who steals money receives his punishment in the world and gets protected from the punishment of the hereafter. But the matter is not the same for the thief of salah. An owner can forgive the thief of wealth in some case, but there is no way of forgiveness for the thief of salah. So viewers of Allah, we need to be very careful about reading our namaz, how we read our namaz. And don't rush it. Yes, I know we have busy life. I know we have a lifestyle that we have so many things to do, and we're clock watching all the time, and we're looking, oh, it's, you know, like now, 8 minutes past 10, I was supposed to do my daily reminder at 10 o'clock. I've gone over and I'm worried now. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. And this happens. But even in hastiness, don't let that affect your ibadah. Don't let that affect your worship. And make sure that when you are doing something, yeah, when you are doing something, at least make sure you do it properly. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And as you are already aware that I've gone over my topic and I wasn't hasty. That's the reason why I've gone over the time. I wasn't hasty. I wanted to make sure that I explained that hadith and that waqia too. And we've gone past the time that we should be. But now, inshallah, we're going to go to our daily reminder. Let's go to our daily reminder and hopefully let's see what we're going to learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. And today, inshallah, Azawajal, I've taken a daily reminder from this very beautiful verse of the glorious Quran. Allah Azawajal, he mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Yani, do not be slackened in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in many places about the remembrance of Himself. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala also mentions that, O believers, you remember me and I shall remember you as well. Now when we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, just imagine when Allah Ta'ala will remember us, such a high rank that person will be, that Allah Ta'ala will be remembering that person. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala will have mercy upon that person. Allah Ta'ala will shower His blessings upon that person when it means that Allah Azza wa Jal will remember that person. And always remember to yourself, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Always read this verse of the Holy Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will not be slackened off. What happens? Because we are humans, generally, you know, we start to slack off. We'll do something good and then we'll slack off, we'll back off. And then what will happen is slowly the shaitan, he will whisper in our minds, in our hearts, and he will take us away from that ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Muslims, we should be getting stronger and stronger. You know, someone asked a pious person that how would a person be strong in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal? And one of the things that the pious person, he says that when your age is increasing, your piety should be increasing as well. Now remember, ask yourself, when was the last time that I remembered Allah Azza wa Jal just for the sake of Allah? Not because I'm going to get good deeds, not because I'm going to be granted paradise because of this, just for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Never ever slacken off, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has given us this power. Once a pious person, he was walking through a jungle and he was doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the shaitan came to him and the shaitan whispered in his mind, oh yeah, that you are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you get a reply from it? And he says, no, I don't. And he goes, so why are you remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you are not getting a reply from Him? So the shaitan worked on him. And what happened was, he stopped the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he had another thought. He heard a voice from the unseen that, oh person, tell to the shaitan, say to the shaitan, and ask yourself, who gave you this power to remember Allah Azza wa Jal? And the person, he said that, Allah is the one who gave me power. So Allah Ta'ala is remembering you. Because you are remembering Him, Allah is giving you the power that you are remembering Him today as well. Let's all ask ourselves. Sometimes when we slack off, We'll be offering our salah, and then ma'azallah, we'll start to slack off. We'll be reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we'll start to slack off as well. We'll be going to the masjid to offer our 5 times salah, then we slacken off. This is the time that we get hold of our nafs, we get hold of our ego, and we say to the nafs that, no, I will worship Allah Azza wa Jal. I will remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, that will reignite the jazbah, the enthusiasm. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in remembering our Rabb Azza wa Jal. Remember, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned inside the glorious Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have created the jinns and the humans for my worship. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created, we have created the jinns and humans for my worship. So we were created for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. We were not created so therefore we can waste our time. We were not created that we spend our time in the markets. We were not created that we spend our times in football fields. We were not created that we can go out and, ma'azallah, waste our precious time. No, we were created to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time, whenever this thought comes into your mind, always remember this verse of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, once we start to remember our Rabb Azza wa Jal again, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we are more powerful, that we do not get slackened off from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in this world and in the hereafter. And this is what this life is all about, to please your Rabb, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in such a manner that our worship is all accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala has planned for the Muslims in the hereafter, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we can enjoy the better life of the hereafter. May Allah Azza wa Jal give me and all of us the ability to remember Him. Let me just mention to you last time, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and do not slacken in my remembrance. Ya Allah, we remember you. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, we will never slacken off. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madrasa, you're watching Rise and Shine. MashaAllah, Hafiz Rafaqat Attari was there giving us some Madri pearls of the day that basically don't waste our time. You know, and you know, we need to be aware of our true purpose of our creation, why we are here and what we should be doing with our time. Viewers of Madrasa, today we're talking about being hasty and the person, and we mentioned before the break, the person that is, you know, steals his salah in the fact that he does not perform his salah properly. He is rushing in his salah, and as a result of that, he's not getting the reward for completing his salah. And again, we learn that being negligent in our ruku and our sujood is considered a thief of salah. And offering salah in such a quick way, again, we're not completing our salah as well. And normally we need to be very careful how we offer our salah, because what happens is, viewers of my channel, is that when we are in the masjid, when everybody's there, then we'll offer it in peace. We'll do it properly. But then when we're at home, then really, really quickly complete our namaz and come and go back to our normal activities. Again, ask yourself, who are you doing your namaz for? Who are you doing your namaz for? And the other important thing that we need to learn as well for this, viewers of the channel, is that this time of the year, well, not exactly this time of the year, before this, before the month of Zulhajj, what happens is a lot of people, they'll go away and they'll learn the rites of Hajj. They're going on the Hajj for the first time in their life. And what they'll do, there'll be the Hajj training camps, where there'll be the Hajj sessions, where you can come, and Dar Islami arranges these all around the country here in the UK and all around the world as well, where people will go there and they'll learn about Hajj, because it's something that they're going to go there. They'll buy the books. They'll buy the books on Hajj. They'll make sure they have them books with them. They make sure that they've watched the videos, they've gone to the training centers, to the extent that even those people that are not going to perform the Hajj, they also buy the books, they also go to these training centers, and they go to learn for something that you're going to do once in your life. But what about your namaz? You do that 5 times a day, it is farzed upon you 5 times a day. What courses have you attended with regards to your namaz? What books have you bought to beautify your namaz? What books have you bought that you can check from it that your namaz is correct or not? In the same way that when you go on the Hajj, you're walking around with that book in your hand. When you go to the masjid, do you have that book in your hand with regards to your namaz? No, you don't. How many of us go and attend these courses to make sure that our namaz is correct? Very few of us. Alhamdulillah, viewers of Madhi Channel, again, I mentioned this, you know, I keep on mentioning Dawud Islami as a coincidence today, but Dawud Islami is providing this service for you. Dawud Islami has provided the books for you that you can have the laws of Salah. It is a book available in English. Dawud Islami providing these courses, Fazan-e Namaz course, that it is available in many, many places. And not only in the current situation, but in the current situation, it's available online as well. So these online courses available all the time. There's face-to-face courses available in our local centers from time to time. There's books available for us on how to rectify namaz. How many of us? How many of us avail these services? How many of us try to rectify our namaz? And the problem is, viewers of Madhi Channel, that when we were young, went to the madrasa, we learned how to read our namaz. Or maybe we didn't go to the madrasa. Our mother, our father taught us how to read our namaz, and we think we know it now. I've learned it once, I don't need to learn it again. Do you know, when you learn how to drive, those people who learn how to drive in this country, I'm going to talk about the UK here. When you learn how to drive here, you have to learn how to drive properly. Yeah? Two hands on the steering wheel, looking at the mirror, changing the gear at the right time, and all these things that you need to learn, looking at your door mirror, all these things that you learn to do it properly. Then what happens is, once you've passed your test, you're still driving. You're driving more than ever before. Whilst you were a learner, you're probably only driving 30 minutes a week, 1 hour a week. Yeah? For your lesson, now you've passed your test, you're driving every day. You're driving 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. You're driving so much. What happens? Mistakes start coming to your namaz. You're driving with one hand. You're not looking at the mirror as much. Yeah? You're on the 4-4 whilst you're driving as well. You're speeding. You're making all sorts of mistakes. Now that even though you've passed your test, you're making these mistakes. And it's said that these people, that once they pass the test, if 2 years later, 3 years later, these same people that have been driving for 3 years, if you ask them to repeat the test, they'll fail it. They'll fail it. What about our namaz? You've learned to read your namaz. Have you ever repeated the test? Or have we gone to such an extent that through our life, things are coming into us that we're making mistakes? We're making mistakes in our lives and we're not realizing that we're making mistakes in our namaz. And as a result of that, these mistakes have been continually made. So surely, viewers of Mother Channel, that if we are reading our namaz on a day-to-day basis, which we should be, then we should get it checked. Constantly check it. Constantly make sure that these small mistakes have not come into our lifestyles, that we're not making these same mistakes. So viewers of Mother Channel, I would advise all of you to please make a habit and check your namaz, rectify your namaz, attend these courses and buy these books. Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman Ramatullahi Ta'ala said that a man who was not completing his ruku and sujood was offering salah, and he said to him, if you were to die in the state of offering salah in the way that you are offering, then you will not die on the way of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In the narration of Nasayid, even states that he asked, how long have you been offering salah like this? He replied, for 40 years. He said, you have not offered salah at all for 40 years. And if you were to die in this state, then you will not die on the religion of Islam. If your namaz is not correct, viewers of Muslim Channel, you run the risk of dying without iman. You run the risk of dying not in the fold of Islam. The most valuable gift that you have is your iman. I came here today, I locked up my car. When I left my home, I locked the front door. In my house, if I have any money, I put it in a safe place. But what about my iman? What locks do I put on my iman to protect my iman? What do I do to secure my iman? Do I check my namaz to secure my namaz? Do I even pray my namaz? Today we are talking about those people that are hasty in the namaz. And those people that are hasty in the namaz, if they don't read the namaz properly, they're on the risk of dying without iman. What about those people, viewers of Muslims, that don't read the namaz? If I run the risk of dying without iman, if my namaz is not perfect, if I've been making mistakes in my namaz, I run the risk of dying without iman. What about those people that don't read the namaz? Do we not value our iman? Are we happy that we're going to live in eternity in the hellfire? Is that what you want? No, surely it isn't. Nobody wants to be in the hellfire for eternity. Everybody wants to be in paradise. But paradise comes at a price. And that price is sacrifice. That price is time. That price is knowledge. That price is action. We need to act upon that. And we need to learn that. And we need to do it. And only then will we be successful. So we need to protect our iman, viewers of Madhi Channel. Viewers of Madhi Channel, we're going to take a small break now and go to the hadith of the day, and hopefully we're going to learn something there as well. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Tirmizi, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The most complete in terms of faith are those who have the best character. And خِيَارُكُمْ, the best among you, are those who are the best with their women, meaning their wives. So for us it's a lesson that if we want to be the best in terms of Iman, in terms of faith, then we have to adopt good character. Our character, our nature, our behavior should reflect the fact that we have adopted good character and learned from the prophetic way. And another reflection of being good or being among the best is that we are good with the women of our household, or in this respect, our the wife. So if a husband is bad to his wife, or does not treat her well in any way, or does not fulfill her right, he cannot be from those who are considered the best among the people. There may be people who are apparently very religious. They have a religious outlook, religious appearance. They seem very good outside, but when they come home, they are completely different people. And it's a lesson for them especially, and for many others generally, men must learn that true character or good character is seen or reflected outside of the home and within the home as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And mashallah, you just saw that was one of our graduates from Jamatul Madina Qamar Madini. And before we continue, I just want to mention the fact that, alhamdulillah, we have Jamatul Madinas all around the country, starting from Stratford in London, Luton, Birmingham, Leicester, Blackburn, Rochdale, and Bradford for the brothers. These are the Jamias there. And also we have Jamias for the sisters in Birmingham, Bradford, inshallah, Azawajal, in Bury, and in Blackburn as well. So if you want to take admission to them, the admissions for the full-time Jamias, which are during the day, are 16 plus. The admission to the part-time Jamia in the evening is 12 plus. So make an admission to the Jamia, avail these facilities, the idea being that we want to create the English-speaking scholars of the future, inshallah, Azawajal. Like I said, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we've been talking about rushing, about being hasty, about doing these things in rush, and how it can affect our lifestyles. And inshallah, there are many ways that it can affect us. And so far, we've only talked about our namaz as well. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we also have a guest with us, not here in the studio, but on the Zoom call, inshallah, Amiruddin Bhai, all the way from South Africa. Amiruddin Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, mashallah. Jazakallah, Amiruddin Bhai, mashallah. You give us time every week. You bless us with your Madani pearls every week. And once again, I'm hoping that you're going to bless us with some Madani pearls with regards to the topic today. Amiruddin Bhai, we're talking about being hasty, about, you know, our lifestyle is such nowadays that, you know, everybody's busy, everybody's rushing, everybody's clock watching. People, if you ask people for money, they'll give it you, but you ask them for the time, they won't give you, because time has become so valuable to us. But as a result of this valuable asset that we have called time, then what happens is we sometimes, through hastiness, we misuse that time. Through hastiness, we do not complete the actions that we want to do. So is that basically that we're talking about today, that we want people to realize the harms in being hasty? And if you can bless us with some Madhi pearls on this, then inshallah, Azawajal, it'll be appreciated by all of our viewers.
It's a very important topic. But before I start, I would like to just quote one saying that was by Haji Abdul Habib, Damat Barakatum Aliya. It's in Urdu, but very, very appropriate. He said, "Yeh jata hai jo akalmand hota hai, uski zuban dil ke piche hoti hai. Pehle wo sochta hai, ke bolo ya na bolo, phir bolta hai. Aur bewakoof jo hota hai, uski zuban dil se aage hoti hai. Wo pehle bol kar baad mein soch raha hota hai, kya 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 keh diya." Means, yeah, a wise person thinks before he talks, but a foolish person, he talks before he thinks. That's a summary of that. But we know most of us become victim of hastiness. I know I have many times in my life, especially when you're young and you don't think. There have been many times that we have spoken too soon or reacted without thinking and immediately followed that by a wish that we hadn't done that. Due to hastiness, families break up. Due to hastiness, person gives his wife talaq without thinking. And then you find that especially with whatever is said in haste causes lots of problem.
Allah.
And it's also mentioned, there's a beautiful saying, the translation of this is in Arabic, but the translation is this: the one who is in haste speaks before he knows, answers before he understands, praises before trying, and condemns after praising. The hasty person is always accompanied by regret and is far from being well-being. And the Arabs call this the mother of regret. That means hastiness is the mother of regret. So this,
Allahu Akbar.
This topic is very, very important, because why are we hasty? Short verse of the Quran. Khuliqal insanu min ajal. Man was created of haste. And also Almighty Allah says, wa kana al-insanu ajula. That means man is ever hasty. The hastiness, there's two types. One is blameworthy, that means the one that caused harm. Like, very simple. You find many of us, when we make dua, we are hasty. We want our dua to be accepted. And we want results of our dua quickly. And then if it's not, we become despondent. You find many people stop making dua. They say, now we make dua, it's useless. You find, unfortunately, what it means, your dua will be answered in some way. In fact, Allah, so beautiful. It's mentioned when you make dua, sometimes Almighty Allah, in His divine knowledge, and He would not give you what you want straight away, because giving it to you straight away could be causing you harm, which we don't know. And therefore, Almighty Allah will give you when it's appropriate, and He won't give you what you want straight away. Obviously, Allah knows when is best to give you. But the best regarding dua, which we have heard many times, is Almighty Allah, when you pass away, you'll see mountains and mountains of good deeds, and you'll be surprised. Say, Ya Allah, where did these good deeds come from? Almighty Allah will say, these are the du'as you made, which are reserved for the Akhirah. And what we'll all say, Ya Allah, how nice, if you didn't answer any of our du'as in the dunya and kept everything for the Akhirah.
Allah.
So, see, this is the beauty of having sabr, not haste. But these hastiness sometimes make many people even abandon the salah, because they say, oh, what's the use? I heard people saying this. What's the use? I read namaz 5 times a day. I do this, I do that. I still got problems in my life. We have another form of hastiness, especially when it comes to seeking knowledge. You find many students, and I'm sure whoever students who are listening, they will know this. You find that sometimes a student is sitting in a lecture, and then he's, because of hastiness, he won't sit through the whole lecture. He'll go before the lecture is finished. Or if you're reading a book, because of hastiness, you know, you're getting bored, so you don't finish the book. So you leave, and then you find people moving from teacher to teacher, from course to course, because of hastiness. And it ends up causing problem for them. Because why? We're living in this social era where we want instant gratification. Whatever we do, we want to see the result instantly. So therefore, you find when a student becomes qualified, now he wants to get leadership position immediately. He can't wait. So that means even after you qualify, you want to get rich quickly. But this is it's a problem. We display haste, because obviously if you're building a career, it's a gradual process. You don't, and you see other people are progressing, and maybe you're not as skilled as them. But that's what makes many people, it causes them to lose hope in life. And sometimes you find, because of haste, people want to earn money quickly. They can see other people progressing financially, building houses, driving beautiful cars. So in this haste, what they do? They turn to fraud. They turn to selling drugs. They get involved with interest. They sell alcohol-based products. So these kind of things, because why? They're in a haste. They want to get rich quickly. So they don't worry about halal or haram. That means this blinkers of haste makes shaitan make their vision very narrow. So it opens all the dark doors for them. So what happened? They become blind to whatever is haram. And it's unfortunate to say, and this affects many people. Because what happens is now, because you're in a hurry to get rich, in a hurry to drive a car like your relative or your friend, but you haven't got the means. So then many people turn to crime. As you can see, this is also done because of haste. Now, another very thing appropriate for us, especially in the Islamic we involve in infradi koshish, we involve in neki kidawat. You find sometimes a family member is obviously needing advice, or you find some friend who's hell-bent on going on his sinful way, or you find that look at the state of the ummah. So what happens is, you eventually say, there's no hope, man. There's no hope for this person. So what happened? After we try a little bit of infradi koshish, we try doing neki kidawat, we find it doesn't work. So what happens? We throw in the towel. We say, this guy won't change. But there's a beautiful hadith. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the blessing, the sawab of doing neki kidawat? He said, for every word that you say, Allah, you get 1 year's worship of 1 year. Allah, so imagine if you keep, even the person doesn't, that means that our job is to give neki kidawat. Our job is to give infradi koshish. We should not become hasty, because the one that changes his heart is Allah. We have to do our job. That means you must not give up. I'll give you a very beautiful story about one brother. This was mentioned in one of the risalas of Dawud Islami. There was one brother. He went to a town, and they were obviously went for Madni Kafila. And it was a habit to do Sadai Madina in the morning. So he should get up and do Sadai Madina. And then what happened? One person was a professional, and he got very annoyed. He came out and he said to the person, stop making noise. Don't you know we're sleeping? And you do that next time, I'm going to beat you up. Just go from here. So eventually he went away. This person had a lot of sabr, wasn't in the haste. He went away, but he carried on with his work. The next day, again, he did Sadai Madina. I went past the same house. That person was so furious. He came out of the house and he slapped this person. He slapped this Muballik. He said, didn't I warn you? So again, eventually the person at sabr, he didn't say anything and he walked away. Then what happened? The third day, to his surprise, as he was doing Sadai Madina, and he came past his house, he saw this person with his kurta, with his hat, waiting, and he asked for maafi. He apologized. He said, listen, I'm very sorry, man. You know, after I slapped you and you didn't retaliate, you just held your cheek and you went one way. He said, that action of yours, that sabr, he said, dil mein chot laga. That means I got a pain in my heart. I said, this person is not doing this for any reason but for the pleasure of Allah, to make me become close to Allah. And what did I do? And he begged for forgiveness. But what happened after that? Because of his action, that person became a regular namazi. He gave up his sinful ways. As you can see, now when a person obviously does something with sabr, because opposite of hastiness is sabr. And look at the blessings. In our deen, we have a balanced approach. So the topic of hate is also, we don't condemn this hastiness at all, because there are also praiseworthy dimension, like rushing to do good deeds. That means life is short. That means we should compete for paradise. And that means this is where, when it comes to the journey of paradise, we should race against time. Yeah, we should be in a hurry to do good deeds. Imagine now your time has come for Hajj and you got the money. You shouldn't delay. You should rush and get this done, because this is obligatory upon you. But if you delay, there's a beautiful story, it's a story to learn a lesson. Some years ago, it was in South Africa, and what happened was one person, he had the audacity to talk about this, and it was written in an article. He said he had money and he was ready to go for Hajj, and then he postponed it. He says, this was the biggest regret of my life. He said, when I postponed it, the following year, my daughter got proposed. Now I had to use that money to make a nikah, to make the marriage. You know, now we are so extravagant. We spend so much on wedding when you're not necessary. So look what he said. All the money that he saved, he used it for his daughter's nikah. And then what happened? For some reason, because of financial situation, he said, now the price of Hajj has gone so much, I don't think I can ever afford to go for Hajj again.
Allahu Akbar.
Look at how sad it is. So therefore they say, when you're, these kind of things you must rush for. And also rush to repent. And some people, when you give them neki kidawat, they say, okay, now I'll change my life when I go for Hajj. Or I will stop my sinful activities when I get married. You say, right now, my focus will become on hereafter, will come after I retire. So you postpone doing good deeds as if you think that you know when you're going to die. That means you got an assurance that you will reach old age, that the angel of death will wait for you, do all these kind of things before it eats your life. So the person delays his repentance. That means this is where we're saying, due to these kind of things, that means we're in a hurry to enjoy this dunya. That means now what we should be doing is hurrying to do good things, hurrying to repent. That means don't wait. Like how beautiful it is in Dawud Islami, we have, you do Salat al-Tawbah every night. That means you fill your Matin Iramat every day. It reminds you that, okay, today I made givat, I made backbiting. That means rush to repent. And we have the opportunity to do it every night. That means sometime what happened, a person, years will pass. And then what is just like, what we're talking about, if a tree is young and the tree is going bent, you make it straight when it's young, then it becomes a straight tree. So if you've got a habit that is starting, right? And you say, no, okay, I'll, and you don't follow up on it, it'll give you the habit so you'll know, won't be able to get rid of the habit. So similarly, if you take, like, precede, that means hurry to do good deeds. That means don't wait. That means that become part of your life, doing good deeds. So this is something that we should always understand, that uprooting a sinful habit, that means what we had yesterday, it'll become very much easier doing it today. But if you wait to uproot it tomorrow, it'll Allah become Allah. Too late. So that Allah means Allah. Whatever sinful habit, we should be in a hurry to do it now. And unfortunately, we find these days, as is because of social media, that unfortunately many of us are so engrossed in trying to get the best of this dunya, so we don't have time to, like as I said, to rush, to seek repentance. So may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq and understand the message and give us tawfiq to make tawbah before it's too late and not be hasty in doing things that will anger Allah, but be hasty in doing things that pleases Allah.
Subhanallah.
Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi
wa sallam. Jazakallah Amiruddin Bhai. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. I'm Jazakallah Amiruddin Bhai, all the way from South Africa. Give us many, many Madri pearls. There are many, many things, food for thought, as they would say. Many, many things for us that we need to think about. And hopefully we can think about this and react to that and make some sort of changes in our life as well. But now we're going to go to a small package about who is it, those people that Allah Azza wa Jal makes their struggles easy for them. Let's find out about that today. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has stated in Quran Majeed, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever adopts taqwa, Allah will create for him a way of salvation, a way to get out of difficulties. Now, what is taqwa? Taqwa is refraining from all such acts which distance you from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, this will be categorized. That act which takes you away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forever, that is known as disbelief and shirk, or leaving your faith. Now, a one step down which takes you away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is misguidance. And then something takes you away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala or becomes a means of his displeasure is a major sin, or it can be a minor sin. And then there are certain acts which take one away from a certain status of closeness of Allah. And that is following your nafs, your carnal desires, temptations, and so forth. In fact, basically, taqwa is to refrain from any act which destroy one's hereafter. Right? When you talk about high levels in taqwa, so it also includes that refraining from any act which could take you away from the closeness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Even that act is not a sin. These can include desires, temptations, luxuries, prioritizing your own wishes and desires, and even having focus towards other than Allah. They can become means of getting away from the proximity of Allah. Hence, for a layman, very basic understanding about taqwa is that one should refrain from every major and minor sin. By doing so, you will attain taqwa, and in reward, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will take you out of difficulties. While here, I would like to add one thing, that you see many pious people in difficulties who have taqwa. Right? There are two answers for this. Number one is that if a pious person is in difficulty, that does not happen due to punishment of Allah, rather it's a test of Allah. That happens to raise his status. If a student sits in examination hall, he is actually put into difficulty, meaning sitting in examination is a difficult task. But he has to go through this difficulty in order to attain degree. So this student is going through this difficult task in order to get reward, and in result he will be promoted to next level. So a person is in difficult situation standing out in hot weather without shade and a person sitting in examination. The nature of difficult situation for both of them is different.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. That was Mufti Qasim Mashal, the head of our Dar al-Ifta in Pakistan. What a great learned person he is. Again, a person that you sit down with and you learn from. And I've had the opportunity to be able to sit down with Mufti Saab as well. And you realize that when you sit down with the scholars, when you sit down with these learned people, you know, whatever topic you talk about, you can learn something from them. You can learn something about how to live your life, how to prioritize your life, how to be hasty in your life, or how not to be hasty in your life. And these things, that the topics that maybe you're not normally discuss, because when a scholar is standing up and he's delivering a speech, then he'll talk about those religious matters regarding to worship and your ibadah. But when you sit with the pious people on a day-to-day basis, just having a cup of tea with them, you learn so much. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all have the opportunity to sit down with our scholars, spend time with our scholars, and value our scholars. Because these scholars, once they have left this dunya, then with them they take a whole chest of knowledge, sacred knowledge with them. And unless that knowledge is passed on, then that knowledge is no longer to be utilized by others as well. So I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can take the knowledge from them. Today, viewers of the channel, we're talking about being hasty. And we mentioned so far the being hasty in our ibadat. And as Amiruddin Bhai said, that being hasty in other things can cause harm to us. And being hasty in our words can obviously cause damage to others. Maybe when you're in discussing someone with something and you get angry, you lose your temper, you say words that you later regret because you've been hasty. In a moment of haste, unfortunately, you also hear of people that they have, you know, divorced their wives, and obviously once they've divorced their wives, then there's no coming back from this. And so these moments of haste can cause a lot of damage to us. And regarding hastiness, viewers of the channel, I'd just like to say to you that hastiness, if we were to sum up hastiness, generally, that what are the harms of hastiness? We would say that hastiness is something that is disliked by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Hastiness is from shaitan. Hastiness are those things which are completely become ruined due to it. So when you're doing something, you can ruin it by being hasty. It can make a person face failures because of being hasty. It can cause a person to regret things because of being hasty. It ruins one's honor and dignity because of being hasty. One is made to apologize again and again due to it. If you're a person that's constantly like Amiruddin says, that you put your mouth into gear before you put your brain into gear, basically, that you speak before you think, then you're constantly regretting it. You're constantly asking people to forgive you. It becomes an obstacle to our success if we are hasty. It can cause one to become embarrassed before others. It makes a wealthy person penniless. Again, making hasty decisions. If you're a businessman and you make hasty decisions, then you can lose all of that wealth. And so in our lives, viewers of Mother Channel, you need to take time to make decisions. Because if you do not make the correct decisions at the correct time, then that, again, not if delaying it too much can be a harm, delaying it too much can be a hasty, but also making a hasty decision can also cause problems as well. And we also know, viewers of the channel, that if we are hasty, if we are rushing, it can take you to a hospital bed. Yes, it can take you to a hospital bed. And if we are hasty, we are rushing, it can also take us to the grave, yes. Through people being hasty, through people rushing, every day we hear about these car accidents, we hear about these road accidents, motorcycle accidents, vehicle accidents. How does this happen, viewers of the channel? Someone is trying to get somewhere quicker than they should do. Someone is trying to beat that red light. Someone is trying to overtake that car. Someone is trying to get past that car. And as a result of that, we have these accidents and we see people in hospitals that have lost their limbs and lost their lives, all again through hastiness. And again, like I said, this hastiness can take us to our grave. So hastiness is something, viewers of the channel, if we are not careful, then it can cause all of these problems for us. We're now going to have a kalam, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, and hopefully after that, when you come back from the kalam, briefly we're going to talk about those things that we need to be hasty with. Yes, there are things that we need to be hasty with, and inshallah we're going to talk about them when we come back. Let's go to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
فضل رب سے کس بات کی مل گیا سب کچھ جو تیبا مل گیا مل گیا سب کچھ جو تیبا مل گیا بے ٹھکانوں کو ٹھکانا مل گیا اور نہ خدائی کے چمن کس کا وطن خلد کیسا کیا چمن کس کا وطن مجھ کو سہرائے مدینہ مل گیا مجھ کو سہرائے مدینہ مل گیا مجھ کو سہرائے مدینہ مل گیا اور ان کے طالب نے جو چاہا پا لیا ان کے طالب نے سائل نے جو مانگا مل گیا ان کے سائل نے جو مانگا مل گیا ان کے سائل نے جو مانگا مل گیا تیرے در کے ٹکڑے ہیں در کے ٹکڑے ہیں اور میں غریب تیرے در کے ٹکڑے ہیں اور میں غریب مجھ کو روزی کا ٹھکانہ مل گیا روزی کا ٹھکانہ مل گیا مجھ کو روزی کا ٹھکانہ مل گیا اے حسن فردوس میں جائیں جناب اے حسن فردوس میں جناب اے حسن فردوس میں جائیں جناب ہم کو سہرائے مدینہ مل گیا ہم کو سہرائے مدینہ مل سہرائے مدینہ مل گیا عاشیوں کو در تمہارا مل گیا بے ٹھکانوں
Sallu ala al-Khabib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and today we've been talking about the harms of being hasty, the harms of rushing. Because we have a fast lifestyle, then ultimately we start rushing things. And as a result of rushing things, we make mistakes. Or as a result of rushing things, we try to save times. And we do not really achieve what we're trying to achieve as a result of that. But however, viewers of Munchal, there are certain things that we need to be hasty with. And now we're coming towards the end of the program. I just want to mention those few items that we need to be hasty with. It is stated, viewers of Munchal, on page 164 of the book Hikayate or Nasiyate, which is a book that you can download from our website, www.dawatislami.net. It's a completely free book. It is narrated that haste is from shaitan. However, there are six matters in which haste is not from shaitan, and they are as follows. Number one, making haste when the time of salah comes. How many of us viewers on the channel, when the time of salah comes, we think, loads of time left, don't we? We've got plenty of time, don't worry about it. And we leave it. 1 hour left, oh, we've got 1 hour left. 40 minutes, oh, we've got 40 minutes. 30 minutes. 20 minutes. 10 minutes. 5 minutes. And then when there's only 2 minutes left, if we read our namaz, we just complete the faraz, and that's, oh, well, at least I completed my faraz. You knew when the namaz of time approached, you had 3 hours, 4 hours, up to 7, 8 hours to read your namaz in some cases, and yet you still not read your namaz because, oh, you know, I'll do it later. So you're not being hasty in completing your namaz. If you're hasty, if you rush towards your namaz, then inshallah, you complete it perfectly. Second, being hospitable to guests when they arrive. When your guests arrive in your house, you don't just sit them in the front room and you say, okay, you stay there, I'll go and watch a drama, I'll go and watch the TV. Once the football's finished, I'll come and sort you out. No, as soon as your guests arrive, be hospitable with them, spend time with them. And these are the etiquettes that we all know, but again, we need to make sure that we're aware of them. And we need to give that tarbiyah to our children, that when guests arrive, spend time with them. Don't just leave them in the room and disappear. Sometimes what happens is, you know, someone will come to the house, the son will open the door, and the person will say, oh, I've come to see your father. He said, okay. So he comes into the house. The person sits in the front room. The son goes upstairs, plays on his, you know, PC, tablet, whatever. He forgets to tell his father. Yeah. And so the guest is sitting in the front room on his own. And all of a sudden, the father walks into the front room and says, Acha, when did you come? Yeah. Again, you know, this tarbiyat with our children, that let them know that when our guests arrive, we should be hospitable with them. We should spend time with them as well. Number three, a very, very important view on the channel. Preparing the shroud and burial when a person passes away. As soon as someone passes away, we should be hasty, we should rush to performing the ghusl, we should rush towards performing the kafan, namaz janaza, and burying them. And as you know, viewers of Mashallah, within Islam, we try and bury our dead as soon as possible. And this is something that you need to be hasty to. You need to rush towards, you need to perform as soon as possible. Number four, marrying off one's daughter after she becomes a balik. Yeah, as soon as your child, your daughter is at an age which she can be married, then we should wait for a suitable rishta. And don't delay this. Don't think, oh, maybe something better is going to come. Something better is going to come along. Something better is coming along. And there's something better. What happens is sometimes, unfortunately, our daughters get older and again, that they remain single. So if a good rishta comes along, then marry your daughters off as soon as possible. Number five, quickly paying off your debt when a time of repayment comes. When we owe people money, the time comes to repay them, pay them off as soon as possible. And six, the most important thing of all, the most important thing in being hasty is that when we commit a sin, immediately, repent from that sin. Be as hasty as you need to be and repent from that sin. Commit a sin is like planting a seed. If you don't repent straight away, that seed develops roots. If you don't repent after a short wheel of time, then the roots start to spread and it becomes harder and harder and harder to repent. So as soon as you commit a sin, be hasty in repenting from the sin that you've committed. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Today we've talked about the harms of being hasty and also the times where we need to be hasty. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we learn something today. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla allows me, first and foremost, to implement what I have learned in my lifestyle. And I hope that we can all implement it in their lives as well. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun